Good morning. I'll be like John. I'll start that over again. Good morning. All right, we're waking up. How is God moving in your life? What is God doing in your life? See, we believe that God is moving, that he's active, that he cares for us, that he didn't just set the world in motion and then leave it to its own accord, but that he is an active and personal and loving, guiding, caring, comforting God. Last week we spoke about the person of the Holy Spirit, and we looked at how he abides with us, how he guides us, how he counsels us, how he brings us to faith in our Lord Jesus. And so earlier this week I was challenged to figure out a way that we could sort of see a practical example of God moving in our midst. And so I searched the scriptures, and the scriptures are full of ways that the Holy Spirit has moved among God's people. But for whatever reason, I wasn't comfortable with what I was finding. I wasn't comfortable with what I was coming up with. And so I wrestled all week, what am I going to do? You know, Sunday comes rolling around like a steamroller every week. And you guys expect that I get up here and say something about the Word of God, right? This morning, Matt and Megan shared from Hebrews 11, which is the great faith chapter, as many would call it. I just want you to listen to some of these key words in the passage that they read. By faith, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob blessed each of Joseph's sons. By faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Those who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Others were tortured and refused to be released. Some were faced jeers and flogging. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. These were all commended for their faith. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This is the story. These are the stories of God's faithful. The author of Hebrews is using these stories, these reminders of these great men and women of faith. And what we're reminded of is that God is writing the story. And he's not only the perfecter of our faith or the author of our faith, but he's the author of our lives. He's the sovereign. We sang about the sovereign I am already this morning. And what the author of Hebrews is saying is that we enter into God's story by faith. And oftentimes we think that as we enter into God's story, as we enter into his kingdom, as we enter into his family, that everything's going to be peachy. And we're reminded by this long list of the faithful that they were persecuted, that they were destitute, that they walked about in sheepskins and goatskins. They were executed and persecuted. But you know what? They were also empowered, such that they shut the mouths of lions, that they were able to walk through on dry land in the midst of the Red Sea. And it was by faith that they entered God's story. And so it was on Thursday night after we had gone to Somerville that I was walking out of the assisted living facility. And Patricia Lutton and myself and Joyce Marcotte, who had been there, began to share a little bit about what God's been doing in her life. If you want to know more, ask Patricia. But she said to me, you know, my eyes have been opened up to what the Holy Spirit is doing in my life. I had preached on the Holy Spirit last week. She's in a Bible study with other women, studying the movement of the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does. And she says, I know that God is active in my life, but I'm now beginning to see it in fresh new ways. And then she asked me a question as I walked her to her car. She said, Pastor, do you know that the Holy Spirit is moving in other people's lives in our church? In our very small, very new church, God is moving in mighty ways. What she didn't know is that I had been wrestling all week with how to make real what it is that God does in our lives through His Holy Spirit. And by that one question, her willingness to step out in faith and to ask me, did I know what's going on here? It confirmed for me that we needed to share our stories. We've been doing a little bit of that in adult Sunday school. We've been looking at the book of Acts, and we've been sharing, and we'll continue to share our stories. And so if you want to get sort of deeper into that, if you want to get more connected, if you want to join with others who are seeing God at work, come and join us at 11 o'clock. But immediately three people came to my mind, two of whom were at my home team. And so today, Becky Slobashevsky is going to begin really a three-person panel, if you will, of the movement of the Holy Spirit. We said last week that the Spirit moves like a wind. The Old Testament word is ruah. And if I could say it like the Hebrews say it, you would actually hear the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the wind moving. You can watch the rustling of the leaves or the grass. And so this morning you're going to see a little bit about how God is moving. Just through three people, through their families, through their prayer life, through their following after Christ. And this is just the beginning. This is the beginning of our sharing our story, of our boasting in what Christ has done in our lives and what the Holy Spirit is doing among us. So in a minute, you're going to hear from Becky Slobashevsky. Then you're going to hear from Phil Dunham. Then you're going to hear from Lori Gibb. Listen to God's movement among us. Listen to the rustling of the leaves. Watch the grass move as the Holy Spirit moves among us. And ask yourself, how is God moving in my life? What is the story that God has written on my behalf and for His glory? Becky, will you come?
Well, that's quite a chapter to follow, but there's one part in that chapter that really just kind of jumped out at me as I was listening to it, and that is the part about Moses and his parents. I mean, what a hard thing it would be to take your child, put them in a basket, send them down a river, and not know what was going to happen. And as I was thinking of that, that leads me into the verse I had picked out to share, which is from Psalms chapter 4, verse 5. It's a simple verse. It says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and trust in the Lord. Just a simple verse, but it has kind of stuck with me for many, many years. And I thought many times, how does this work? What does it mean? Sacrifice of righteousness. How do I trust in the Lord when I do that? God showed me through many ways how that does work. And for me, offering sacrifice of righteousness is doing the right thing, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what's going on, regardless of my emotions, and then just trust God for the results, for Him to deal in the circumstances, change my heart if necessary, which often is the case, and just for the blessings that He will give to me at a later time. A church I attended many years ago, there was this older woman who would come. She was in her 80s. And she was sometimes a little loud, sometimes a little slow. And I just kind of kept my distance from her. I didn't have, you know, anything to say. At the time, I worked with little preschool kids. And that was where I was comfortable. It was great. You know, you could do anything with them. They didn't care what you did. But God kept working on my heart to go up and talk to this woman and become her friend. And I'm going, no, God, I can't do that. What am I going to say? I have nothing in common with her. I just can't relate. Well, I found myself sitting in the same row as her, at the other end, but in the same row. And then eventually God led me over closer and closer to her. And then I began talking to her, and I found out her story, and I told her a bit about myself. And we became really fast friends, and I visited her. And I think that's what God had in mind all the time, is just that this woman needed a friend, and he knew I would be willing to do that if he got me to step out. And so looking back, I realized at first, even though I was resistant about this whole idea, that through God's Holy Spirit working in my life, he brought me around completely to embracing this woman and just caring for her so much. And that has happened again, not just one time in my life, but many, many times, even in this church plant. A year and a half ago or so, when we had all the different areas on the table and trying to decide who would fill different things, and I said, you know what? I don't want to work with preschoolers anymore. I've done that for so many years. I'd like a change. But I looked, and nothing else seemed to be the place for me to sign my name. And when I finally got to saying, okay, I'll help with preschool, it was kind of filled. There were enough people. But there was a place with the elementary kids that needed to be filled. And I was like, okay, there were already some people sort of in that direction. And I said, okay, I'll help out a little bit. Well, through many circumstances and kind of resisting that, but signing my name anyways, God has brought me full circle in that area too. And I know it was God, because it wasn't something I wanted to do. I wanted to do something different. But now God has just blessed us in the children's ministry. He got my feet wet real quick in it. And I find that when you step out of your comfort zone just a little bit, God moves. He moves your comfort zone to where he's put you. But he wants you to take that first step. He just wants to see if you're going to be obedient. I think that's what doing the righteous thing is being obedient to his will. And then you just simply trust in him. And he just keeps moving you a little farther, a little farther, a little farther, until I find myself planning the whole children's K through fifth grade for next year, which is not something I had planned to do at the beginning of last year. So I find that God and his Holy Spirit he can work in really big ways, but often it's just those little ways that he'll change you, change your heart to something that he wants you to do. Next year we do have, I just want to tell you a little bit about our vision for the kids. I think kids are a lot like sponges. I know you as parents know this. I couldn't come up here without some kind of visual aid as a child teacher. The kids this year have been little sponges. They have been soaking up the things that we have been teaching them, soaking up the songs. And someday they're going to take and they're going to wring out that stuff onto somebody else. And that's really what excites me, is because I have a chance to be a part of putting that foundation in their life. I can be the water that they're soaking up. I can present God's word. I can present the Ten Commandments, the books of the Bible, the promises of God, the plan of redemption. These kids will soak it up if we present it to them in the right way, and they will eventually squeeze that out on someone else and make an impact on our world. They are the future leaders of our church and of our country, so it's just exciting to be a part of that foundation. We are next year going to do things a little bit differently, but kind of keep similar elements. We are going to, instead of having two different Sunday school classes, we're going to combine them into one group. And after we have a common lesson and some opening, we're going to divide in some smaller groups. And I will be looking for people to help be small group leaders. It would be a perfect opportunity if you kind of just want to step out a little bit in children's ministry, but you're not sure about the whole thing, to try that. Put your foot out for, a year and see. It would be, not a lot of work outside of church itself, just somebody that's reliable who can be there. I could use somebody to help team teach this class, too. So when I'm not there or sick, or someone who could just share it with me every other week, would be great. Kevin back there, who's been a great support all year and being a great help in this whole ministry, is getting together puppets for next year. We are going to frame the puppets and our lessons on two things. How many of you like trains? Anybody like trains out there? Okay. Anybody want to live forever, go to eternal life? Oh, nobody. Okay. All right. Well, anyways, we're going to put those two together next year for the kids. This past year I've been wearing this button all year long about God and being faithful to his promises. He's faithful if we just step out and trust in him. And we're going to repeat this curriculum because the class I had is all going up to middle school, and the younger group didn't study this, and it's a perfect lead after to what they've been doing. So we're just going to continue with it. And we're going on a journey, and our journey is going to be at different train stations every week. And we're going to take this journey to eternal life. And the songs we do, the memory verses we do, the games we do, all the things that we do are going to be centered around a train theme, just to give it all something a little more fun to hang on to. So my challenge is to anyone out there who has just a little bit of challenge, I'll just put it that way, just to step out into children's ministry and get your feet wet. We have lots of areas that, beside teaching and singing, I'd love to have someone help with the missions. We would love to have somebody do crafts, maybe just 4 or 5 times a year. If that's all you can do, that would be a wonderful place for you. Maybe some drama, if you like to do skits or just like a 1-minute monologue kind of thing. We need people maybe to sew some costumes for us. People who know how to draw. I'm very bad at drawing. And sometimes I wished I had something I could illustrate for the children. I could use somebody to come in and maybe draw that for me. Somebody who would just bake some cookies or a cake or something of that nature. Or perhaps you have a particular talent that you could maybe use with the kids. I heard somebody likes to work with leather. Maybe we can use that in one of our lessons. But I'd love to draw more people into the excitement of building God's kingdom through the children. So that is my challenge to you. Thank you. I believe Phil's up.
I just find it amazing. We don't know, we haven't heard each other's presentations and how they tie in together. You know, it's one God. I want to tell a story. But really, our stories go back a long ways. All of us, we've been learning, and the Holy Spirit has been teaching us all along. We all know that. I find it good to ponder every once in a while where I was a year ago, just to see where he's brought me and where he wants me to go. Not to go back there. I can remember a time not so long ago when opportunities would come by and we'd see them, the window of opportunity would come by to minister or to do what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do. And then a week later, I would realize it and look at it, and it was, you know, it's you'd say I should have done that. I could have, should have, would have, you know. And later on, as the Spirit worked on me, as God brought me through different things, I was catching up to it. Pretty soon it would only be a half a second after an opportunity had come and gone. And then I found myself, an opportunity would come and I'd let it go. And I think we've all been there. We get afraid. We're going to be going out on in territory we've never been in before. We're not ready for it. And This story is about two things. There's many more of them, though, and it should bring us to a point where it brings me to a point where I can look and see what it would be like to be walking in the Spirit, to be walking according to the Spirit and not to the flesh, and that battle that's going on. becoming alive to God and dying to self. I believe that's in the New Testament, that's what is being talked about, where opportunities come and you take them, and you wouldn't think of not taking them. It'd be automatic, like anything that we get trained for. When we come to that choice, and we can see it's a clear choice of the spirit or the self, just do what God wants or give in to your fear, choose a spirit. And secondly, when you get out on that thin ice that you don't, you know you're in an area you don't know anything about, prayer will bring you through it. And if you speak to God with that attitude, because you know that it's all Him, it's none you, and it's God answers that prayer in a mighty way, and He does it, and you'll see miracles as you go forth. Well, how many of you have heard of Angel Tree? Few, about half people. Angel Tree is a part of Prison Fellowship Ministries. Chuck Colson started that after he did time in the federal penitentiary, and he received Christ while he was in there, and he started these prison ministries. Angel Tree, they'll send these things to prisoners, and they'll be able, when they have kids at home, around Christmas time, they want to send them their kids a present. They're hopeless, you know, helpless to do anything as far as giving their kids presents. So Angel Tree will work through a church. There's different churches that sponsor it, and the prisoner will sign up, you know, for what they want to give their child and or children. And somebody from a church will deliver it to the door, you know, to go around to these places and deliver them. And in it will be tracts and note and a message from the prisoner. As some of you know, Kathy and I's youngest son, Philip, is incarcerated in South Carolina. And he signed up for Angel Tree. We have Parker about every other weekend. That's his son. He signed up for Angel Tree for his son. Wanted to send him something. And this is last Christmas, and it didn't come. It didn't come. It finally, we're about in the middle of December, and I was going to work one morning, and Kathy says, "I got a number here. I'm going to call and find out maybe what happened to it." So I went to work, and at work I get paged. Got a phone call, so. There's Kathy on the other line, and she says, she talked to people, and they were apologetic, and they said there was nobody to deliver up in our area. So that's, the Holy Spirit starts working, and Kathy says, well, we'll do it. We'll volunteer to do it. She said, well, to tell you the truth, there's, you're the only ones up in your area. We got the other towns covered. The only the town nobody's doing is Waterbury. We know nothing about Waterbury. All I know, it's a city, and it's built on a lot of hills, and there's a lot of bad sections and such. So she said, "Well, I want to do this, but I'll call my husband and ask him what he thinks." So she calls me. Spirit is talking to me, and I said, okay, let's do it. It's, they're thinking that, you know, I know I'm going into a territory I don't know anything about, and doing something I know nothing about. I'm very uncomfortable with it. But so many times, this, when the Spirit calls, and God wants us to do something, it is outside of our comfort zone. It's not one of these things where I just feel right about it. A lot of times you feel wrong about it. And but I knew also I'd been in situations like that, and we put it up in prayer in that way, that we knew that God had to bring us through it, and so I said we could do it. First house we went to, people are a little standoffish, you know, and here we come to the door. Some of them won't answer the phone. What are you up to? You know, sure, yeah, you got a present for me. You know, we go up to this first house, and here, you know, they're wondering, there's these two white people out there with us, you know. There's a barrier. You can feel it. We went in, and we began to speak, and, you know, tell them about it, and it's okay. And we shared the story of how we got into it. We just mentioned that, you know, we had somebody in our family dear to us in the system, and everything changed at that point. All of a sudden, communication started opening up. We were able to be a blessing to these people. We went around. We spent the whole day on a Saturday in Waterbury, driving around, you know, looking for these places mostly. It's a lot of one-way streets, and you could use a TomTom doing this, I'll tell you. I had a co-pilot, but could really use a TomTom. I remember one house also we went to, and we're knocking on the door. You could see someone was home. There were cars were there, and you could just tell someone was in there. And I think we could hear the TV going or something. But nobody was coming to the door. And finally a neighbor come by and asked, you know, what we're doing and stuff. And she called the house and left a message, called that house, and then they came to the door. It was kind of a middle class, nice neighborhood and such. And this woman came into the door, and she was just amazed at what had happened. Her husband was in, and as we were talking, the little girl opened a present. She wasn't supposed to do that, but she said, fine. And there were Christian materials. This guy was a Christian, and he wanted his daughter to have some of these this Christian stuff. And she just lit up, and she just couldn't believe that we were doing this. And she said, where are you from? You know. And she said, you know what? This was Saturday. She said, go to church tomorrow. I'm going to talk to my pastor about getting involved in this. We need somebody in this area doing this. So, I don't know. My point is, when you say yes to God, and sometimes it's just, like Becky was saying, it's just, I don't know, it's just a split-second decision, and you just throw yourself into it. There's fruit from that. There's not only fruit from around you with other people that are involved in it, but there's fruit in here, because the next time it's easier. The next time it's a little bit easier to say yes to God. I kind of liken it to a gym membership, this training thing. You buy a year membership in the gym, you pay a lot of money for it, so it's worth a lot. You want to get everything out of it. So you decide, I'm going to go three times a week or two times a week or whatever, and then the first time you get ready to go, okay, it's Monday, I'm going, and you just don't feel like going. But if you don't do it, it's easier to say no next time. If you do it, even though you don't want to, and you do it, the next time it forms a habit, I'll do it just like getting up for work. Who wants to go to work, but you do it anyway. And it gets to be habit, and you automatically throw yourself into it. And then I think as you keep doing that, eventually you wouldn't think of not doing it. That's where I want to be at. I think this Christmas, or around Christmas, we may be speaking again on Angel Tree and see if we get some people that are interested in doing it with us. We've already had a little experience with it, and I know it can be a great blessing to others. And that's it. Thank you.
Let me see. Hello? Is that too loud? Ooh, I'm going to stand back. My name is Lori Gibb, for those of you who may not know me. And it's just a privilege to be up here today and to hear what God is doing in our lives. And so I just pray that this would be encouraging. And I just recently, we have a home team on Thursdays that meets in our home, and I was able to share this week about a trip that the Lord opened a door for me to go on. And it was to California to learn how to share my faith biblically and effectively, like Jesus did. And it really, like Phil said, just stepped me way out of my comfort zone. I am a homebody. And even just the airport thing was, I just prayed through the whole thing. And by God's grace, it was awesome and amazing. And I learned so much, and I was so equipped. So I'm just going to step way back. Years ago, the Lord lifted me out of a slimy pit, out of the mud and mire of sin, and set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And almost immediately, he gave me this heavy burden to share my faith. I didn't know the word. I didn't know how to share my faith. I just knew that it was like being in the lifeboat of the Titanic. And there was this joy and this hope and this wonderful, like coming from darkness to light. But there was a burden for those around me who were not in that lifeboat. And there was such a pressure and a sense of wanting to share with others and plead to get into the lifeboat. So I started studying, and I prayed, and I was trained. Every time there was an opportunity at church to learn how to share your faith, I went. I studied scripture because I wanted to effectively present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And over the years, it became very frustrating because people would pray a prayer to ask Jesus into their heart, and I would see no fruit. I would lead someone in through the gospel, the good news of what God did on our behalf, and people would respond, but over the years I thought, why is there no fruit? Why is there no passion? Where is the hunger? And the changes in life didn't take place, and it was very confusing to me and frustrating because so much time and energy and sincerity was poured into this prayer. And then about a year and a half ago, I was introduced to the teaching of biblical evangelism, and it just rocked me right to the core, and it pierced my heart. And what I was doing in my own just lack of understanding is I was sharing the good news with people, or the cure, if you will, without presenting the reason for the need. So like a good doctor, or if someone had a fatal illness and I just said, here's this cure, this priceless cure, I sold everything and I want you to have it, and they were not convinced that they even had the disease, they may accept it, may think I'm a little weird, but there probably wouldn't be an appreciation or an appropriation of the cure because, you know, there was no sickness. So what the biblical evangelism has done for me is just radically transformed how I share my faith with others. And it's like a doctor taking the time. If I had taken the time to sit with someone and just show, you know, there's 10 clear symptoms here on your flesh and really walk through the disease, and they were convinced that they had the disease, they would just gobble up the cure. There would be no discussion of the cure. Yes, I know I need the cure. Please, thank you. And what an appreciation and an appropriation of the cure. So what it's done is it's used the law of the Lord, which I didn't even know the Ten Commandments. They're hanging in my house. I thought they were an Old Testament thing, and, you know, it was kind of a fun little, you know, decoration I got from the Country Magazine. They're hanging in my house. I had no idea that they applied to me or that they could be used in evangelism, but as I've been studying, I told you I listened to that message on biblical evangelism, and it shook me. It talked about sin and righteousness and wrath and judgment day, and I just thought, oh, I've been going to trainings for years. I've never heard of this stuff. I take notes on everything. This can't be in the Bible. And so it sent me back like a Berean searching the scriptures now for about a year, and it was all there, and it was amazing to me that I did not know that the Bible says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And so the difference between it, I think what I have done and what some people with absolutely sincere motives, we've tried to remove things that might sound offensive. And it became a very me-centered kind of sharing. Oh, God, I have them pray this prayer. I need to do this. I. And now, as I've studied the Word of God, the focus has become repentance in a heart that recognizes their own sin. When I recognize my own sin in the light of the law, I was filthy, dirty. Like Chuck Colson says, the stench of my own sin became right in my face. It made sin personal to me, and it made me recognize my need for a Savior, and it made the gospel that I was sharing before make sense. So, and I didn't realize that God, the Bible says God commands all men everywhere to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. And those Ten Commandments, the law, is that standard that we'll be judged by. I had no idea of that. I really thought it was about being a good person, which the law clearly showed me I was not. I could show all of you maybe on the outside that I was a good person, but God saw my heart. And so it has just been incredible as I've looked at Scripture that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So the law is at work in a person, and it is amazing to see the difference in sharing my faith, evangelism, when that law takes, you know, it just does its work in someone's heart, and you see this is not me, this is the Holy Spirit at work. The Holy Spirit's the one that convicts of sin and righteousness and judgment, and godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. So it was like, wow, the Word of God is very clear on this, and it's about God doing a work in someone and me just being faithful to give the whole message, the truth. I was not presenting the whole message before, only the part that was the good part. But it was removing like the curative properties. If my child is extremely ill and I have this medicine, I know they're going to hate it, it's disgusting, and I water it down so much, it would make it lose its curative properties. So I was removing. I didn't know that I was doing this because I didn't even know this was in there. But it is amazing to see how God has worked in the lives of the people that we shared with on this trip, and just in my own life, one-to-one sharing what God has done and the fruit of a repentant heart, as opposed to someone who has prayed a prayer and maybe not known anything about sin and what Jesus died to save us from. And so, there's a few scriptures. The Bible says that every man will proclaim his own goodness, which, you know, we don't... we don't see our own sin. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans, I did not know sin except through the law. It's like that speed limit sign. We don't know we're speeding unless, boom, 35. Oh, boy. It makes sin exceedingly sinful. So it makes the sacrifice of the Savior just awesome, and the gratitude for it becomes just unspeakable, what he has done and how he has suffered on our behalf, and that he's risen and that we worship and serve a living God. So A.W. Pink said, and this quote, when I read it, it just struck me, that it is a waste of time to sow seed on ground that has never been plowed or spaded, which is what I was doing for years and feeling very frustrated and seeing no fruit. And when I studied the results of, church growth, statistics, people and mass crusades, and my own witnessing and my own sharing of my own faith, how many people I've shared with and how many people have really went on with the Lord and started a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that you can noticeably see fruit in their lives, it's about an 80 to 90%. My own, in my life, my own statistics matched the church. There's a real discrepancy there. The church looking very much like the world. There were an 80 to 90% of people who, quote, fall away and just, they're never to be seen again, which leads me to be committed now to using the law to show someone their need first, to kind of expose that sin, that disease in there, and then present the gospel, the good news of what Jesus did. So in a biblical way. And this is what Jesus did and what Paul did. And it has just been so amazingly affirming to go back into Scripture and just see this over and over and over. It also, the other thing that's at work, when I walk away from someone, we may not have prayed a prayer, to receive Christ or to ask Jesus into our heart, but I know the law of the Lord is working, the Word of God is living and active, and the requirements of the law, the Bible says, are written on our hearts, so our conscience is bearing witness. So the conscience, it's just amazing to see. This is not about Lori or a person. This way to share my faith and is just made a difference between night and day, and I'm encouraging you to if you have that on your heart, that stirring, there may be a fear there, to step out, and we may be doing a crash course. Well, we are going to be doing a crash course in biblical evangelism one day, maybe a pizza party. Even you don't have to speak or do anything, but if you have that burden, I think of my friend, this analogy. My friend is an intercessor. She prays for people. God called her out of nursing to pray for people. She is an amazing woman, and that's what God has called her to. And she prays for hours, and she's just incredible, but that's her calling. So God does not call all of us to do that, obviously, but we're all called to pray. And we may not all be called to street evangelism or open-air preaching, but we are all called, if we have truly repented and Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we're all called to share our faith. So there's a lot of fear in that, and I know for me there was a lot of fear in that, and I've been praying, if you're feeling that stirring, just pray that God would give you compassion for those around you, to swallow up your fears. I've been praying for about a year. Lord, give me a fear of you that just swallows up my fear of man. And he's been so faithful to do that and to stretch me there and equip me. And so as a result of all that, coming back from this training and just feeling that need now to freely give what I've received and equip others in the body and really maybe form a team here of people who would like to pray and go out. Jesus said, all authority has been given in heaven and on earth to me, to therefore go and make disciples of all nations. We are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And just what Scotty was sharing, are we in the barn? Are we in the harvest? We need to go just as criminals knocking a dark in the door of a prison, people living in sin who are lost and in need, not a good chance that they're going to show up at the church. So I am about going out and totally relying on God and seeing what he'll do and to be faithful with the message. He has been so faithful. The testimonies I shared a little bit on Thursday night are amazing of what God did when we share the truth in love and really speak to the conscience, not an intellectual thing, because we can believe all we want. It's a repentant heart that God is looking for. So this closing thought, the Apostle Paul in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians shares the qualifications of evangelism. So if you're thinking about it, here they are. The Apostle Paul said, I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. So if you feel weakness and fear and much trembling, you are qualified to share your faith and to be equipped to reach those God has put in your life.
So are you seeing your story a little bit clearer now? Your own story? Yeah. Why don't you bow with me in prayer? Lord, I know that there are more than three stories here. I know that there's more than three ways that you're moving in this church. And Lord, this is just the beginning. We thank you for what you've done. We thank you for giving Becky the opportunity to minister and to serve and through it to find that she herself has been transformed and changed and been given a passion to see the next generations of our church grow in holiness and in truth. And Lord, for Phil and his wife Kathy to step out and just simply serve people that they don't know in a place that they're not familiar with. They took something that is otherwise difficult for their family and have decided to follow you and to serve others that are experiencing the same kinds of things they are. And Lord, for Lori, we thank you that she understands a bit clearer now of what's required as we share our faith and how it is you go about saving our souls. First, by recognizing that we are in need of a Savior, and ultimately showing us the Savior that's the only one capable of saving us. Lord, we want to magnify your name this morning and thank you and ask God that you would begin to raise up new stories. Help people to get to a point where they can't help but speak about how you're moving in their lives. You're the author of our faith. You're the perfecter of our faith. But you're also the writer of our story. And we're grateful to you for that. In Jesus' name.